Hi everybody, welcome to this episode, and I'm specifically going to speak about the power of symbolism, okay? Because we need to understand this very importantly, because once we know the power of symbolism, we can use symbols to really in our spiritual journey, and it can really help us to enhance our experiences in our spirituality. So first and foremost, I want you to understand that that our thoughts, our feelings create reality. Again, I repeat, our thoughts and feelings create reality. So keep that in mind before I tell some deep things. We have to understand that we are energy, and we are energy, we are consciousness, we are spirit. So energy, consciousness, or spirit, whatever you call it, we have to understand it has no form. It cannot be seen or touched. It doesn't have a particular form. So in the split experiment, double split experiment, we know that something that is in wave form turns out into material form, or turns out into a form which can be experienced by sensory mediums when the observer starts observing it. So to learn more about it, check out my YouTube video on Christ consciousness if you have not watched. So everything in the wave form gets materialized, so get into a particle form when an observer tries to observe it. In the same way, energy, consciousness, spirit, they're all in a wave form. And what people have done in the past and people are still doing is, or we as human have tendency, is trying to bring that energy, trying to make it to experience it in through our sensory mediums by symbolism, by using symbols like drawing it, turning it into pictures or statues and all this stuff. So the moment we make a symbol of something, or we make a picture or a statue of something, what happens is consciousness or the energy that is there in a wave form start getting contained in that symbolic form. So when we observe that symbol, what happens is it activates that energy, it which is contained by that symbol. So something that is in the waveform can be captured in a physical realm, in a material realm, by putting it in symbols. So remember that these energies, so-called energy or spirit or consciousness, it is within us. It is inside of us, and we have something called as the subconscious mind, which is the most very powerful mind, and which is very active mind. And the subconscious mind, when it sees symbols, what happens is it acts as a, the symbols act as a catalyst to activate that particular energy within us. Like simple example, I've discussed about and I spoke about the chakra system, that there is energy that is going inside us, that is flowing inside us. Now, we cannot see that energy, we cannot touch that energy, but the ancient philosophers, what they did was they made these chakras, they painted these chakras and they put it into human body, and they try to show a picture how this chakras really how the energy or the that spirit really flows into our body. So when we put it into, and they gave colors to each energy system. So when we put it on the into this picture form, what happens when you see it, as your subconscious uses these symbols as a catalyst to activate that particular energy field of yours. So because remember that human brain is a photographic brain. So if I say the word apple, when I say the word apple, you are not going to see in your mind A-P-P-L-E. You're going to see an apple in your mind or an apple phone in your mind. If I say a word banana, you're not going to see in your mind B-A-N banana, the spelling of banana, but you are going to see a real banana in your mind. So our mind is a photographic mind. Our mind captures or gets activated or immediately brings pictures into the mind. So in the subconscious mind, in the subconscious brain, when we look at a picture, when we look at any picture or a symbol or a statue, what happens is it activates the energy field inside of us. Remember, energy inside of us. How does it activate that energy field? It activates by activating our thoughts and feelings. Remember, I said in the beginning that thoughts and feelings create reality. Okay, so I'm just setting up a base foundation right now. Now, I want to tell you how important it is to know what I'm to understand what I'm saying here, because simple thing is, if you check the videos of our channel, we have a lot of engaging with the Hebrew living letters. And what are these Hebrew living letters? Basically, when Hebrew is a pictographic language, every letter is a picture. It's not just like an English alphabet, A, B, C, D. English alphabets don't have picture for the letter. But in Hebrew, every letter signifies a picture. So when we look at a Hebrew letter, what happens is it acts as a picture. It acts as a symbol which brings out thoughts, brings out feelings. These thoughts and feelings activate particular energy field that brings reality into our life. I hope you're understanding this. So symbols, these symbols, Hebrew living letters, were used, were very powerful, were used to pray, to bring creation, to spell the name of God and all this stuff. So a simple thing is, imagine a symbol of a cross. Now, I want to give an example to you. When the people of Israel rebelled against Moses, against God, there were serpents which came and bit them, and they were all dying due to the poison. And God told Moses, create a brass serpent, a brazen serpent, and hang it on a cross or a pillar or a pole. And whoever looks at the pole, whoever looks at the brazen serpent, they shall be healed. That's what God told them. Now, you have to understand what is really happening. People were watching that brazen serpent and they were literally receiving their healing. Why? Because at a subconscious level, the subconscious brain knew that this serpent signifies Jesus on the cross. This serpent signified Jesus on the cross, taking our sin on the cross and bringing healing into us. So the subconscious mind recognized that brazen symbol or a statue on that pole, and that subconscious mind took that symbol, took that statue, And that brazen serpent became a catalyst to activate our energy in within ourselves to bring healing into our body. And that's how the people of Israel started receiving healing from the poison of the snake. So in the same way, God told Moses to build a tabernacle, and he literally told, make the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of the Ark of the Covenant, make two statues of the cherubs. Okay, and there are time and again we see in the Old Testament, God told even in the Jerusalem temple, which was built by Solomon, there were pictures, there were symbols, there were pomegranate figures, there were fruit figures, there were so many pictures and symbols which were done in the temple of Jerusalem. Why did God tell to do so? Because God knew the dynamics, the science behind it. Because when we human watch these symbols, these pictures, these statues, okay, it activates our subconscious mind, takes those pictures and activates the energy field that is required in our body, in our life, to work things out. Like, I'll give you a simple example, a practical example. When you look at your country flag, okay, it's just maybe the flag, just a color of a few colors out there, and just a drawing of maybe a lion, maybe just a dot or something like that. For in India, we have this three colors flag and a wheel in between. So when we look at the flag, just a simple thing. When we look at a flag, it's a symbol. But when we look at the flag, there is an energy that is activated inside of us. That energy, that there is a spirit of patriotism. There is an energy of patriotism that is activated in us. And that energy can literally manifest and make us walk in a particular direction of our destiny. So people who are in army, people who are soldiers, when they look at the flag, they are literally out there fighting their wars, fighting the wars, winning the battle. So just a symbol of a flag raises that energy field inside of these people and inside of us sometimes. So what I want to tell you is symbols, pictures, statues, they have a power. They carry a power. In fact, they act as a catalyst to release energy, consciousness, spirit, which is inside of us, tapped inside of us, dormant inside of us. The problem is many people think when we look at a picture, when we look at photo, now look at me, look behind me, the background, there is a picture of it's called a tree of life. I can't show you the full picture, but it's a tree of life with Hebrew letters on it, each and colors, everything has meaning to it. Okay, so there are something called as 10 sephirots. This is called tree of life in Jewish mysticism. And there are 10 sephirots, and there are 22 pathways, and there are colors out there, and each sephirot, each circle has a meaning. So that picture just looks like a picture, but at the subconscious level, it releases some kind of energy which is within us. Okay. Now the problem is when Reformation came into the picture, these symbols and pictures, photographs and statues, if we go date back into early church, the early churches had all these photographs and statues and pictures and symbols all over. And especially, really want to appreciate the Catholic Church. They knew the importance of it. So the Catholic Church had the statues of saints and angels and all these pictures all around. However, No doubt it was abused later on, and it literally led to idol worship. But the real core Catholic doctrine does not entertain or encourage worshipping the statues or symbols or whatever. But people have misunderstood and started worshipping them and all that stuff. So I don't want to go deep into it. But when the Reformation came, what happened was the Reformation made Christians just abandon all the symbols, the statues, the pictures, all that stuff. And by abandoning that, you know, I think Christians missed out something very important in spiritual walk with God. So sometimes you will ask me, is this statues, keeping statues at home, or keeping pictures of angels, or having symbols like this, is it idol worship? I want to really address this question and address this issue. What is really idol worship? I mean, God told in the Old Testament to make statues. God told in the Old Testament to make symbols. God told in the Old Testament make the brazen serpent. But today, if we do the same, we say it's idol worship. So what really differentiates between a symbol, statues, pictures, and idol worship? And idol worship is exclusive, guys. What do I mean? See, honestly speaking, I have a question. Is God everywhere? And the answer is yes, because we say God is omnipresent. So when I say God is everywhere, that means God is in me, God is in you, God is in the trees, God is in the plants, God is in the animals, God is in the sky, God is in the birds, God is in the water, God is in the food that we eat. God is everywhere. Christ is everywhere. So you cannot say God is not here and God is there. God is everywhere, right? So suppose I make a clay statue. Is God there in that statue? Yes, in that clay, yes. Suppose I make a picture, I draw a picture. Is God there in that picture? Yes. Then where do we draw a line of saying this is idol worship? Now the problem with idol worship is, or where do we draw a line for idol worship is, when we say, when we make an idol, okay, let me give you an example. I have a statue here of an angel. It's a stone, 7-stone angel. Now, when I say that this stone is an angel, and there is no angel outside, but this is that angel, and I start worshipping this stone as an angel, believing not that there are angels around me in the spirit, inside of me, all around me, but just worshipping this stone as an angel. Now, that exclusiveness of separating this stone as something very special, that is idol worship, you see. And that is what actually God was prohibiting in the Old Testament. Today, Christians, if you just have a statue, they make a big noise. If you just have a photograph or a picture of or a symbol, Christians make a big noise saying it's an idol worship. No, no, no. Idol worship is when you take a particular symbol or a particular statue and you say this is exclusively God, and this statue is God, and there is no God outside this statue. You carve it and you say this is the one. He is God. This is the angel which can bless you. When we exclusively do that, that's idol worship. You see? So, but if I say God is in this stone. God is in this speaker. God is in this mic. God is in me. God is everywhere. Now, that's not idol worship, right? Because that is truth. The truth is God is everywhere. So we have to understand and start really understanding the heart of God. And when God says idol worship, what is really idol worship? So this, having symbols in your house, having pictures in your house, having statues in your house, from my, I believe personally, it is not idol worship. But then you take that statue and you say exclusively that this statue is that God. That's idol worship. You have a separate mindset saying this is God and there is no God outside the statue. That is idol worship. Okay, so why do I do this video? Because I want to tell you, our mind, our brain is a very pictographic brain. It sees pictures, and when it sees pictures, it activates energy field, activates our spirit. And therefore, remember, it's very important for Christians to, I believe, to have symbols and pictures and statues around your house, so that your mind is all the time, your subconscious is all the time picking up the right thing. It sanctifies your mind, so that even in your dreams, even when you pray, that you see what is, that your focus be on the heaven above and not on the things of the earth. So symbols carry real power to release that dormant energy, to release that spirit that is inside of you, that is within you, that is there around you. So guys, this is a short video. I'm gonna make this short videos, because this videos are going to prepare you for a mystical journey that is going to come ahead in future. So be blessed, guys. If don't feel condemned, don't feel guilty. If you have a statue, if you have pictures and symbols, religious symbols out there, just look at it and just enjoy that energy, enjoy that feeling, see what thoughts come into your mind. Don't condemn yourself, because those thoughts, those feelings will define your reality. So go ahead and enjoy this kind of spirituality. Go ahead, put up some good pictures in your house. If you see yourself seeing negative energy in your house, if you see gloominess in your house, if you see you feel low in your house, put some bright pictures, put some statues of Jesus, put angels all around, which can uplift your spirit, uplift your energy, so that you can have more deeper mystical experiences. God bless you. See you for the next video. I hope you enjoyed this video, and I hope you are blessed. God bless you. Bye.